Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year. I'm Carla from the Bay Area of California. I'm sure you can tell from my accent, however, I'm from the Panhandle of Texas originally. I've been here 4.5 years. I came into OA 2.5 years ago at the age of 65. My eating manifested the problems and the compulsion and all the things that I had no idea about until 2.5 years ago. Began in my life at the age of 25. So I had 40 years of practicing controlling myself and my eating. Didn't go well. I got all the way up to 265 pounds my way. Many times I had spurts of success in dieting, in behavior modification, in self-help improvement. You know, I would try all these things, and they would work for a while. And one day, I would just decide, I don't want to do that anymore. So as I got through those years, I didn't binge eat, and I didn't throw up what I had eaten massive amounts. I just ate all the time. So not only did I have meals that I ate enormous amounts, but I ate the entire time in between every meal, before and after. Every waking moment, every few minutes, I had something in my mouth. I knew this was a problem. And in 2012, I had a medical diagnosis to prove it, that I was killing myself. And that fear got my attention for a matter of time. Actually, it lasted 5 years. I went by a prescribed eating plan and got much healthier, lost weight. And one day I ate something that I thought, you know, I haven't had this in 5 years. I can just have one. I didn't know what I didn't know. I thought I could just have one. Well, that one turned into one every few minutes that day, and then full-blown worse than I had ever been before. Yet every morning I woke up with a catch in my throat. I'm killing myself. I am killing myself. I knew I was killing myself, but I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop. I tried every trick. I tried every behavior modification. I tried every diet. Nothing. I could not keep from eating. This went on for 9 years. And the hopelessness and the helplessness that I found every day, knowing that, oh, you know what, today I'm going to be different because I know my life depends on this. It wasn't enough. Because what I didn't know was that there were alcoholic foods that I was eating. And the very foods that I thought I could control myself with were the very foods creating this compulsion that I could not control in any way. One night, in my deepest despair, I had come to California. I had never heard of any kind of eating plan other than diets that obviously did not work, because at this point I still believed it was up to me, that it was my willpower. Tomorrow I'm going to be stronger. You know, I'm going to figure out how to do this. And I was crying out one evening and finally asked God, please help me. I can't stop eating. And the thought came to me, OA. So I went to my computer and I Googled OA, and Overeaters Anonymous came up. I just began to weep. I knew that that was my answer. I didn't care what it was. I knew it was Overeaters Anonymous. I didn't even research what Overeaters Anonymous was. I saw it in bold letters meetings, and I crawled into my first meeting the next morning. I was petrified. I don't know what I thought was going to happen to me when I got there, but I was so scared. And I went in there. I didn't know anything about OA any more than I knew about eating. And this was a meditation meeting. I didn't know there were different kinds of meetings. So I walked in there, and these two ladies are sitting at a table, and I just looked at them, and I said, can y'all please help me? I can't stop eating. And they looked at each other, and they said, you know what? I think we'll read the first step. And so they got the OA 12 and 12 out, and in that reading of that first step, for the first time, I was filled with hope. I knew that there was a solution, that there was a way that I could stop this horrible misery that I was living in. And I really, because I didn't know anything, but I still thought I knew everything, I thought, okay, well, the first thing I'm told is that I need a sponsor. So I'm going to get a sponsor, and I'm going to work the steps, and then I'm going to be done. I'm going to go on with my life. This is all I need, this little technique, this little waving some kind of magic wand. I'm going to do this more behavior modification, but this time it's going to work. I had no idea what I had no idea about. I got a sponsor 20 days later. I went to a nutritionist and found out how I should eat. I found out that I had foods that if I took one bite of that food, I would go back to what I was before and worse again. And that in itself helped me to understand that this person who was willing to share with me everything she had. And when I went to a meeting and she shared, I wanted everything she had. And so if she had told me to eat nails, I would have found out a way to eat them, because I would have done anything that she told me to do. But here's what she told me to do. We're going to work the steps, and you're going to turn over your food to me every morning. And whatever relationship that you have with God is going to change. All of these things I scoffed at. She said, the food isn't the problem. The food isn't the problem. The food's everything about the problem to me. I had no idea. I didn't know what I didn't know. I really thought it was the food. And so as I quit eating these alcoholic foods that created this craving, I thought, oh, okay, I've got it. I had no idea, once again, that I hadn't got it. So as I worked the steps and I began to understand that there was a way of living that was totally different than the way I had been living, and that there is this magic that goes on and a miracle about this program, that is when I take certain actions, there's an X factor that gets triggered because I've turned my life and the care of my life over to a power greater than myself. And that empowers me to do things that I can't do on my own. So when she told me, Carla, when you think about eating, call someone. I thought, what do you mean? I'm going to eat and I'm going to call someone and I'm not going to eat. What does that have to do with anything? I don't know, but she told me to do it. So as I began to reach out to people, suddenly I didn't get off the phone and go eating. In fact, I wasn't even thinking about eating anymore. How does that work? I couldn't figure it out. So many things about this journey I've never been able to figure out. I can't figure out how it works. So you know what I finally did? I learned the set-aside prayer, which I call now a set-aside lifestyle that I've embraced. And that's asking God to please set aside what I think I already know. Because, y'all, I'm from Texas. We know everything. We're bigger, better, faster, you know. I had to unlearn more so that I could learn. I had all these prejudices and beliefs about what things should be like, that I understood that when I get disturbed, it's because I have a belief system that something should be different than it is, or a person should be different than they are. I can't change that, but there's a power greater than I am that can. And when I ask my higher power to please set aside this belief that has me disturbed, open my mind to a new way of thinking. Y'all, I think about things now I never even dreamed of before. I had no consciousness of before. And then as I keep myself in a place to be changed, how do I do that? I do that by, first of all, beginning my day upon awakening with my higher power, asking God to open my mind. I practice a two-way prayer where I listen. You know, I never listened before. I was always doing all the talking in prayer, in any arena. I knew everything. And being teachable. How do you get there? I don't know. That's what I'm saying. There's an X factor. And when I talk about a miracle, and I hear so much, I go to a lot of meetings, and I hear so much about the miracle that I'm abstinent, the miracle that my life, the things that I would have never dreamed on New Year's Day, that I didn't wake up today with shame and remorse and regret. But I woke up today with an excitement about coming to this meeting an excitement about reaching out to people, because I don't see that as service. I see it as an opportunity for a new connection. I love reaching out to people I don't know. I love going to meetings. I go to on OA.org, put my time zone in. I just go to a meeting, wherever it is in the world. I love meeting new people. Y'all, before, I was so consumed with myself, I would have never thought of reaching out to anyone else or listening to anyone else. The joys that this program brings, it really is working the miracles. Because we do action, but the math doesn't add up. One and one is never equals two. One and one equals a multitude. It's amazing how when I ask God to open my mind, how I get thoughts that I never thought before, that I get ideas of doing things. You know, action for action's sake, I can keep myself busy. Trust me. I can figure out enough stuff to do. But what does that get me at the end of the day? I get tired, but I'm still as disturbed as I was that morning. So when I ask my higher power to direct my thinking, see, I never did meditation because I thought meditation, you're supposed to sit still, be quiet, and not think. And I couldn't do that. When I found out that the big book instruction actually is to ask God to direct our thinking, and then we think, what a concept. You be quiet, you quit talking, and you think, and you allow these ideas to come in your mind. Sometimes it's direct things of, oh, yeah, I need to take care of this or that today. But a lot of times it's answer your phone when someone calls. Make a phone call. If someone comes to your mind, reach out to them. If you can't get them on the phone, and I don't know about y'all, but I do a lot of phone calling that no one answers. So one day I was very disturbed. I needed to talk to someone. I was at my lunch break and I was walking. I called 8 people. None of them picked up, but I left 8 long messages. By the time I got through with those 8 long messages, I felt better. I was relieved I had gotten it out of my head. But then I still had to go back and say, God, you direct my thinking. Give me a way of thinking that brings me serenity, because my way of thinking brings me disturbance. So that in itself, and learning meditation, and I went to a class through my doctor accidentally on meditation for anxiety and depression. And I work in a public school as the office manager in an elementary school, and it's very high energy. And so a lot of times by lunch, I'm just, So I will just go to lunch, and for 5 minutes, I will just stop and close my eyes and ask God to direct my thinking. When I come back to work, I have a new way of thinking for the afternoon. You know, I can't come up with these ideas because I only know what I know. I know from my experience. And as was shared before, when I got to my 6th step with my character defects, I had a lot of frustration and a lot of hopelessness around being anything different than I was, you know. And I used to always use the excuse, oh, it's just the way I am, you know, take it or leave it. But what I found out was I don't have to stay there. And those things in my character that bring me discomfort and bring me pain and bring pain to the people around me, that there is a different way of living. And how do I get that? I get that by asking God to show me when I'm aware of my character defects. God, how would you have me be? One thing that was very helpful for me is I would look up my character defect in the dictionary so that I actually had a definition of what that really looked like. Then I looked up every opposite word that was in the dictionary. And then I got kind of a picture of this is what the opposite of that is. And then I began to ask God, show me exactly how to do this, because I don't know what this looks like. I read the words, but I don't know how to be thoughtful. I don't know how. One of the words that I was shown was endearing. First of all, I hadn't thought of that word. Had to look it up. And then I had to go, okay, well, how can I treat people so they feel like I'm endearing them? I didn't know how to do that. So I had to sit quietly and listen and wait for an ideal to come to me that would put that into practice. And then you know what's so phenomenal, y'all? We get to practice. Every day is a practice. And some days at the end of the day, I'm going, man, I didn't do real well on that practice today. But you know what? God, show me how you would have me be. How can I be next time? Because a lot of the things that I deal with every day. You know, I deal with, I'm in the middle of a project and kids walk up or people walk up or the phone rings, many interruptions. And before program, that was such a frustration for me. And I didn't act very kind most of the time because I was busy. So one of the first instructions I got was, look people in the eye, put your pen down, quit looking at your computer, and listen. How simple is that? I never thought of doing that. All I could think of is, thank you. All I could think of is, you're bothering me. So if I look down, maybe you'll walk away. Was that endearing? No. I was very dismissive. How could I be different? I didn't know. So I had to do that. The miracles of working this program, because they are miracles. If miracles bothers you, that word, think of it as mysteries. It's a mystery to me how when I ask God to direct my thinking, I think of things that I know aren't me because they're words that I don't use. And half the time I have to go look those words. Okay, how do I even do that? You know, but it's a practice. And then I went through the steps the first time, and I started sponsoring. I was very unsettled about what I had even gone through because, I'd lived the other way for 65 years. So I went to a year-long workshop, and in that fourth step, I was not eating. I wasn't eating anymore. I had three meals a day, nothing in between. I was very comfortable in my new recovery, yet I still had this gnawing of regret, remorse, and shame from my past. And so I went through a year-long workshop and through the steps. And in that fourth step, was able to actually focus on that because I woke up every morning that way, even though I wasn't eating. And that's when I found out, you know, she was telling the truth. It really wasn't about the food. The food was my solution to all my discomfort. And now that I don't have that, what do I do with this? So through that work, I don't wake up with shame, regret, and remorse anymore. So upon awakening, when I have my practice in the morning, that gives me the energy to start the day. But it doesn't last all day. I have to continually ask God, please set this aside. When I feel myself being disturbed, God, set aside the belief that has me disturbed because I think something should be different than it is, and then open my mind to a new way of thinking. And then not only do I think different, you know, a spiritual awakening is a change in the way we think, the way we feel, and the way we behave. And that happens to me continually as more awarenesses come to me of here's what you're disturbed about. Here's how I would have you be. Let's practice. And I have this loving voice now instead of the shaming voice that says, we're going to practice. And that magical mystery miracle of I take this step and God takes one ahead of me so that I never have to think, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? I don't know. I'm just going to keep walking. And then around me becomes my recovery, and then I pass that on to the next person. Thank you all so much for being here. Thank you for this opportunity to share the miracle of my life with y'all, and Happy New Year.